What if you had the chance to proclaim the hope of Jesus to lost children in your local public school? You can do that when you're a part of an after-school good news club with Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm Valerie Case. We know that CEF has long been the gold standard for reaching children with the life-changing message of the gospel. Today, we'll hear the testimonies of lives changed from several area leaders of good news clubs, including local CEF director Emily Ramsdell. You'll be encouraged by what God is doing, and you'll find out how you can start a good news club at your local public school. Listen for this powerful roundtable discussion coming up called The Gospel Still Brings Good News. God can use you right where you are to impact kids for Christ. Stay tuned. This CEF special is up next here on the Mars Hill Network. Welcome into our roundtable discussion on Child Evangelism Fellowship with our guests, Emily Ramsdell, Irma Boswell, Connie Capone, Pastor Matt Watkins, and I'm Valerie Case, your host. We're excited to talk about the advantages that Child Evangelism Fellowship has for reaching children around our listening area and around the world. And we're going to start off with our good friend and familiar to many of us, Emily Ramsdell. She's going to share with us briefly about Child Evangelism Fellowship, what they are, who they are, and how they can impact our community.
Val, Child Evangelism Fellowship is the world's largest mission agency to children, and it's a worldwide ministry. We're not only in each state in our United States, but we're also in almost every country of the world, and our purpose is to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel and to disciple them for spiritual growth and involve them and their families in local Bible-believing churches.
And we can't say enough about how important that is, because you're not just reaching them at their level, but then you're connecting them with resources in their community that can help them further grow in their walk with the Lord. And, you know, we were talking before we went on air, Emily, and I'm throwing this at you a little bit, but about how important it is to be able to reach those kids while they're young and show them the importance of having Jesus in their life.
Absolutely, Val. And one of the ways that we're able to do that through Child Evangelism Fellowship is our after-school good news clubs. And a good news club is an hour to an hour and a half. It's a structured Bible club for kids that meets weekly after school on elementary school campuses. It consists of singing, learning Bible verses, visualized Bible lessons, review games, and more. It's like bringing Sunday school to the school campus. All school-related good news clubs are adopted by neighboring Bible-believing churches, and it's the church's club. CEF comes alongside to help a church get the club started. We provide the curriculum, and we train volunteers from that church to be a part of the church's Good News Club. Unchurched children and their families can be followed up by the adopting church. So, Val, this is truly home missions at work.
And, Emily, just one more question before we introduce our guests and talk about the clubs that they're able to be a part of and what that means for them. When we talk about those clubs, a lot of our listeners may think, how are you allowed to have a Bible teaching, soul winning club in a public school? Maybe people didn't realize that you were allowed to do that.
That's a good question, Val. The Supreme Court of our land, they said that there's equal access to the school grounds. Now, a good news club is not held during school time. It's after school.
And it's not run or sanctioned by the school itself.
So that's right. Separates it. Yes, it is separate. But if there's any other after school programs going on at a school, we have equal access. We can be there as a good news Bible club.
Which, like I said, may be an opportunity that people listening didn't realize could be there.
Most people don't. That's right. They don't realize that we have this option. A church can adopt a local school and have a Bible club on that campus, once a week, like other after-school programs.
It's an incredible opportunity because you're able to reach the kids right where they are, because maybe they never have access to come to church.
That's right.
So you get to go to them.
And Valerie, really, about 75-80% of the children in our clubs are unchurched. Mm. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And for a lot of these kids, the Bible club is their church.
Wow.
That's the spiritual training that they're getting.
So let's introduce some of these other guests that are Bible club leaders at different schools across our listening area. Irma Boswell, you have been involved with Good News Clubs for several years now. How did you first get started?
Well, it got started when there was a child in my oldest son's class who is kind of bullying him, teasing him, mostly on the school bus. We talked to the school bus driver about that, and he did the best he could to try to reconcile, but it just continued. And there was one Saturday I was standing at the sink washing dishes, and I heard Emily speaking on this radio station about CEF and after school clubs. So I immediately contacted her and asked her, how could I start a club? At that time, they weren't in the schools, but how could I start an after-school club in my home? And so she taught me what I needed to do, got the materials. I contacted the family of this boy that was kind of picking on my son, asked him if he could come. They approved it. He had a sister also. We had 10 to 12 kids that would ride the bus and get off at my house and learn about Jesus. One thing that I didn't know, and I found out as I got to know these two children, is that they had lived in the city of Syracuse with their mom, and she had left them one time and just never came back. And so when the authorities found out about it, they located the dad, and they had just recently moved into the home with their dad, stepmom, and were in this new community. And so they were dealing with abandonment. They were dealing with trying to adjust to a new family. And what happened was that boy, who was a bully, became a very good friend.
Oh, wow.
And it just grew. It was really, really neat. And from that, after meeting in our home, it was soon after that they opened up access to schools.
Wow.
So I continued to lead a club in the schools. And also, I was hired as a teacher aide for special needs kids. Mm. And because I was there in the school every day, the kids were coming up to me and saying, can I say my memory verse? Or can I tell you about the what I learned from this lesson? Or would you please pray for me right now? Mm. I need it. And they would always say, hey, Mrs. Boswell, can't wait for next school, the next after school club. See you at Good News Club. You know, it was really exciting to have that opportunity.
And so what I'm hearing from your testimony is this wasn't, Emily, this wasn't someone who was highly trained or in the ministry. This was a mom, a housewife, someone who said, I could do that. Mm-hmm. I could make a difference. I could show Christ love. And that's really what it's all about. As you said, those kids just needed love and attention. Mm-hmm. And through that, you were able to show them Jesus. Yes. And what a difference that made. That's just one testimony. I'm sure you have many. Do you have any others that you wanted to share?
I do, if it's okay to share them. I remember that there was one day when I was at school and I was working at the time that they alerted the staff that there was a tornado warning. Believe it or not, in our area, it wasn't very common, but they told us we needed to quickly move the children to a hallway, which we were sitting shoulder to shoulder in a back hallway. And of course, there was a lot of concern. My daughter, who was in fifth grade at that time, was out on a field trip. The whole fifth grade class was down in Madison County. They were looking at the windmills and they were at the transfer station. So I was concerned. And sitting next to me was one of the little girls from Good News Club. And she said, Mrs. Boswell, I'm scared.
Mm.
I said, you know what? I'm concerned too. What have we been learning about at Good News Club? And she said, well, we've been learning that God is with us all the time, and we can talk to him anytime we want to. I said, you know what? How about you and I do that right now?
Wow.
And so she was praying quietly. I was praying quietly. And I looked over after a few minutes, and I said, how are you feeling now? And she looked at me, and she didn't answer. So I asked her again, how are you feeling now? And she looked at me, she said, just a minute, Mrs. Boswell, I'm still talking to God. So it was so cute. But what was so special was we were able to practice what we were learning.
Right.
And it grew her faith, and it grew mine, too. Mm. And just so you know, the fifth grade class was alerted in time. They were back in the school in another part of the building, and everyone was safe, and the storm passed through, and everything was okay, but it was really neat to experience that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it just that's just one small time where God's word made a difference in a challenge in a young child's life. Mm-hmm. And it's no news to all of you in the room and those listening that our school kids are facing incredible challenges right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe more so than ever before. Forget being afraid about a storm. They're afraid about active shooter situations. Mm-hmm. They have I never heard of children saying they had anxiety until the last few years. And now I'm hearing young kids saying, I need a mental health day, or I didn't know what that was when I was a child. And so they are facing just a host of problems. That's Emily, right. Expound That's on that right. a little bit, that you see that.
Oh, we do. The kids that we're ministering to in our Good News Clubs are facing great challenges, Val. Like you mentioned, fear, anxiety, problems in the home, maybe a father or sibling is in jail, problems in the school, could be academics, bullying. Some kids struggle with low self-esteem. And then there's the social media and everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, and that's, you're right, that's a whole new avenue for bullying to take place. Mm-hmm. It's a whole new avenue of them to perhaps see or hear things that they shouldn't see or hear. And it's hard to break through that noise of social media. But we're so glad that there are people like you and the so many other volunteers who are there showing Christ's love. And so then let me bring in Connie Capone with a question about some of the challenges you see as we talk about some of these things, some of the things you've faced in your time with Good News Clubs.
Sure. I would say some of the challenges I've noticed are most of the kids are unchurched that have come to my club. And because they're unchurched, they're ignorant. They really know nothing as far as creation, and they know nothing about Jesus. I remember talking about him dying on the cross and rising again from the dead, and the boys were like, no way. I'm like, yeah, way. He really did. He really wrote. And they were just, that was mind-blowing to them that someone loved them enough to die for them. Mm. And that he was back alive again, like for real. I'm like, yeah, people touched him. He was alive and they saw him. And they couldn't believe that. So, and then on top of that, like, they're getting taught other things in school. One particular day, these kids had just done a field trip to the Most. Mm-hmm. And they said, because we had just kind of covered creation, and they said, how does the caveman fit into the creation story? I'm like, oh, that's a interesting. Where did you go today? They said, we went to the Most. I'm like, oh, of course you did. And, you know, I said, you know, don't you think that our God, who can do anything and create anything, could create people who could actually talk and they didn't have to grunt at each other? Like, Adam and Eve, we know who they were. They had a perfect relationship with God, and they were able to talk to him. And the Bible doesn't say that there were cavemen. It says that there were Adam and Eve, and he created them. And they were just like, oh. And then, of course, you know, the kids who are like, well, how do we know the Bible's true? You know, there's so much. There's those questions kids have, very yes. tough questions that they ask, and they need answers. And I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to be in a school to be able to provide truth to children and answer those questions, because everybody has them. And I love that kids are so, they're open. They're not afraid to ask questions, yeah. and they'll just tell it like it is. They're very, very transparent that way.
All right, let's bring in Pastor Matt Watkins. Maybe you can jump on there, Pastor Matt, and tell us about some of those, again, in your Good News Club, some challenges that you're facing, some things that you're seeing the kids struggle with, as you can jump on that Connie said.
Yeah, we were joking before we went on air today about, I've been in other clubs where it's quite challenging, but I'm in a unique situation in the club we're in right now where we have kids that I think they'll literally watch paint dry. They're great kids.
Wants to join Pastor yeah, Matt's club now.
I know. But one of the things I would say, you know, is just attention spans. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have to keep things moving along. They're very cooperative in that, mm-hmm. but I know even in some of the other settings where, you know, where Irma and where Connie and where Emily have served, you just got to keep things moving along. And, you know, those attention spans are, you really get, I would say, in my opinion, you get about a 10-15 minute window of focus where you got to really just, you got to get your story going. You got to hit the elements of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And you got to leave it because you got to move on to something else, yes. or you're going to lose your kids.
Yeah, I was watching something, a documentary that was talking about the change in kids in one generation. For instance, I was raised with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and that was sort of long, slow, you know. And now the kids shows that are on, it was something like every 5 seconds,
right.
there's a change, the shots change. Mm-hmm. That's incredible when you think about that. 5 seconds. And so children today are used to things changing quickly. I mean, very quickly. Mm. And so maybe, Emily, you can answer to this. How has Child Evangelism Fellowship adapted their clubs to move things differently or to hold that attention span? How are you training people to reach kids that are on a whole different level than we were a generation ago.
Yes, Valerie, that is so true, because the movement that the children see, whether they're on the video or television, everything's going so fast. So with our training, just like Matt was saying, the Bible lesson has to be short. It's got to be concise. You want to have that gospel message in there and the invitation for the child to receive Christ. But you got to keep that club going. You got to keep it active. But you got to remember that you want to have those important components of scripture memory, but making it fun. They can learn God's word in a fun way, and then using a lot of visuals with the Bible lesson and moving that right along. But kids today do have questions. They do want to know the truth. They've been fed so many lies, they don't know what truth is. So when we come and we stand before them with the Bible in our hands, and we're talking about this is God's word, I've noticed that when I have it's time for the Bible lesson, and I will tell the children, God has something he wants you to hear today, they'll stop.
They actually
look up, and then we present that gospel and in the Bible lesson, and that's what's working for us right now.
And I'm so thankful that the gospel is short and sweet and simple. And it's presented correctly, we know that it can change the lives of children. And we know that Jesus wanted us to come as the little children with that kind of heart, that accepting heart and believing heart. Going back to Connie, how do you see the Good News Club impacting the children? Maybe you've seen them coming for a number of years. How do you see that making a difference in their lives?
One of the things that I noticed of kids, when we do scripture memory, rather than doing a new verse every week, my kids, they had very short attention spans. We spent an entire semester on just John 3:16. But those kids knew that verse backwards and forwards, upside down, and they knew those words. And it was interesting because our second semester started and we had a conversation about, we were just having our pre-club discussion, like how was your school day, blah, blah, blah. And somehow we got talking about good works. And they were very bent on, we need to do good things in order to be able to go to heaven. And I was like, really? Well, how many good works do we need to do? Oh, a lot, Miss Connie. I'm like, well, can you tell me exactly how many? Because I want to be sure. I'm like, don't you want to be sure you're going to go to heaven? Like, how many do I have to do? And they're like, more than the bat. Like, they really were bent on this good work. So I said, guys, remember our memory verse from last semester. John 3:16 said, whosoever does enough good works would have eternal life. And they said, no. I'm like, what does the verse say? And they said, whoever believes on Jesus. I said, yes. That is right. So there was a huge disconnect because they knew this verse in their head, but it had not traveled down to their heart yet. They didn't know the truth. But those seeds are there. Those kids know. They know what sin is. They know that Jesus died for their sins. They knew that he was buried and he was risen again, and that if they believe on him and have faith and turn away from their sin, that they can have salvation. So it's in their heads, but they got this whole other thing going on in their mind, but they have that verse hidden in their heart. And I am trusting that those things of scripture will find their soil of their heart, that it'll be fertile ground to grow truth. And at some point they will make a profession of faith.
Wow. And that's what it's all about. I mean, all the work and all that you put into it, if that one soul, two souls, three souls makes a commitment, what a difference you've made for eternity. And Emily was saying that you had a specific story about a young man in your club that you wanted to share.
One of the clubs I was involved in, it was a non-traditional type Good News Club. It was really more of an after-school program with a Bible element in it. And we had 20-minute sessions where they would spend time in the cafeteria getting after school help on homework or playing games or doing crafts. And then they would go to the gymnasium and have gym time. And then they would come to the kindergarten room for Bible time with Miss Connie. And a couple of weeks we had low attendance. And so there was no customers in the gymnasium. So the kids who were working in the gymnasium, and they were kids that were like city worker kids, they were there for like jobs training. They were there, and they were in my club just listening in because they didn't have any students in with them. And so they were listening and paying attention. And I would have my God can time of my lesson where we would talk about how God answers prayer. And the kids would write prayer requests down and we would say, you know, that God can do anything and we're going to be praying for these situations. And the kids knew that I prayed for them from week to week. And one week he asked me for a paper. This kid did. I'm like, oh, sure, why not? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a student. I'll take your prayer request. So I took his prayer request and I put it in my can. And I went home, and it was this kid was looking for a job, and he was going to be going for interviews, and he wanted me to pray. And so I did. I prayed for him all week, and when I showed up to club, he caught my eyes when I walked into the cafeteria the next week, and he just got the biggest grin on his face, and he said, "You were praying." I said, "I was." I said, "How did it turn out?" He said, "I didn't get one job offer, Miss Connie. I got two job offers." I'm like, "Praise God." And the children were able to hear and see our God answers prayer. I'm like, yeah, he does. And it's awesome. So it was just so cool because he wasn't even a club kid.
Right.
He was involved and he saw and was just so moved by the power of God.
I think I get to see your faces as you guys share these stories. And I'm seeing glistening eyes and I'm seeing these things have made a difference in your lives. And maybe those testimonies are one of the most powerful ways to share exactly how God has used this ministry in the lives of those kids and your lives too. And so let me open it up here for testimony share time. Emily said she had a couple of to share, but Pastor Matt, off the top of your head, can you think of one story that's standing out that you can remember?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think that has always been the hope with these good news clubs is that the children are taking an interest in the things of the Bible, and then they go home and they talk with their parents, and their parents see this interest and recognize that they're going to need a church family to support that. And by no means is this a regular occurrence. I think every CEF worker or every good news club worker would desire that a much higher percentage of our children, we would reach those families and those families would become an integrated part of our local ministries. But I have seen that happen once, and it is really exciting to watch young people. You can just sense the call of God. There is an unusual interest when we talk about God, as Connie was talking about and as Irma was talking about. Like, there's an interest, and because it strikes a chord with truth in their heart, that they know that they're sinners. They know that they need some solution outside themselves. And when you can, in a responsible and at an age-appropriate way, lay out the tenets of the gospel and demonstrate to them that God has provided a way. It's so fascinating to watch them connect with the Bible stories, but then to go home and share that with their parents, to where their parents are then like, I've got to keep this going with my kid. And to see that family in church, it happened with us recently. Mm-hmm. And again, you wish it happened more frequently. Right. To date, it's the only time I've seen it happen personally. I've been involved with CEF for quite some time and with Good News Clubs for some time as well. But a true blessing, a true enjoyment, and just to see God work, not just in the kids' lives, but in the broader family, it's exciting. One of the other things that's been exciting in one of the other clubs I was connected with in the district I'm in was, you know, our heart going in is to reach the unsaved kids. But it has been such a joy to watch the other believing children and their parents come and be supportive of the club. And they really take a missionary mindset to say, hey, I already know the good news of Jesus Christ, but I can invite my unsaved friends to come and hear the gospel. And that's been a real joy. We watched happen that our little group, man, we started with two or three kids. And by the time we were done, we had 25, 30 kids that were showing up. And most of them were recruits from the Christian kids that had gone out and said, look, you got to come to this club that's going on after school. So those would be a couple highlights, I would say, of watching God work in those clubs.
That's awesome. And Irma, we heard about the young man who was bullying your son, which is a story that you shared earlier in the program. Is there something else that stands out to you that a testimony of just seeing God work through that Good News Club?
Yes. There was when our children come to Good News Club, we ask them if they have their own Bibles. Several of them don't. As has been already stated, they're unchurched children. They don't have their own Bible. They might have a little story Bible book, but mm-hmm. not an actual Bible. And several of our students needed their own Bible. And I thought, God's going to provide. And one day after Good News Club, one of the parents who attends our church came to pick up their child, and they handed me an envelope. And in that envelope was a very large check. And they didn't know that I needed to purchase Bibles, but they said, use it whatever way you want. I was able to purchase Bibles for the children that did not have one. But what was even more exciting was the day that I got to pass them out to the kids. It was like Christmas. Aww. They were just so excited to get their Adventure Bible, which was a study Bible set up for a child to understand. But the most exciting part was a little girl came up to me afterwards and said, my older brother just got out of jail. He was given a Bible when he was in jail. Maybe he'll read my Bible with me and we can learn together. And then I had parents within the next week or two come and say, I wish we had a Bible like this when we were younger. We've started reading it with our children. So people out there, like Connie has mentioned, other and others have mentioned here on the panel, people want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And through Good News Club, people can learn the truth. Kids, adults, even our helpers. I had a helper from Indonesia help me once. She was a foreign exchange student. And I have the kids at the end of club. They would fill out what they like most about Good News Club. And as Connie shared her story, I thought of her. She said, can I get a slip of paper and fill out what I like about Good News Club? Mm-hmm. Here's a helper from another country. She had done it mainly because she had to have so many volunteer hours.
Right.
But this is what she said. I loved everything we did. Thank you so much for giving me this experience. First, I did it for the volunteer hours. But I realized that it was so much more than that. I loved every minute I had in Good News Club. Mm-hmm. She's gone back to Indonesia, but we still have contact with her. Every life is touched when you help with the Good News Club. You have no idea. We have no idea.
That's true. All right, and we round back to Emily, who has probably a whole file of testimonies, because Emily, you have given your life to Child Evangelism Fellowship. Years of your life have been dedicated, and many have been touched, and we won't know till glory, will we, Emily?
Right.
What a difference that God's word has made, and he's given us the ability to be a part of that, a small part of that. So maybe give us a couple of your favorite testimonies of just how God uses this ministry.
Well, I'll call his name Joey. He was 9 years old when he was in our school-related Good News Club. And he was one of those great kids that you'd love to have in club. And during the summer, Joey was involved in a serious swimming pool accident and was hospitalized and in a semi-coma state. The only thing he was able to do, Val, was he could open his eyes and he could move one of his arms just up a little bit. Well, I was able to visit him at the hospital along with two other Good News Club teachers, and we alternated our visits to be able to spend more time with him. We sang songs to him that we sang in Good News Club. We read scriptures to him and we prayed over him. Every time I was with Joy, I would ask him to move his arm if he could hear me, and he would move his arm slightly off the bed. Well, one Sunday, I felt the Lord urging me to go to the hospital to talk with Joey, and I wasn't sure. I just wasn't sure about this. After all, his family most likely would be visiting, or possibly there would be some other people in the room. I didn't think I'd be able to speak with him, but I put aside these thoughts, and I went. There was no one else in the room. He wasn't sharing a room with anyone. It was just Joey and me. And during the time I talked with him, there was not one interruption from visitors, hospital staff, or the PA system. It was as if God had put a bubble around us, and I'll never forget that. What was heavy on my heart was I wanted to know Joey's spiritual condition. When I arrived, I asked him if he could hear me, and he moved his arm slightly off the bed. I then told him that I wanted to be sure he had invited Jesus into his life. And I went over the plan of salvation with him, and then I said to him, Joey, have you asked Jesus to forgive your sin and come into your life? And if you have, will you raise your arm? And without hesitation, he raised his arm right up in the air. Hallelujah. About a month later, the Lord called Joey to heaven to be with him. He wasn't healed in the way we wanted, but in God's best way. Mm-hmm. Just think, Joey no longer is a prisoner in his body. We can just imagine him running and jumping and praising the Lord. And at the funeral home, his father said, thank you to the Good News Club teachers. He said, you prepared Joey for heaven. Mm-hmm. What greater words could be said? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it's all about? Mm-hmm. Pointing children to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Emily, thank you for sharing that. And boy, when all is said and done, you're right. That's what matters. And what an incredible opportunity you had to share that with Joey and so many others. All right, so I think we've gotten everyone's attention that Good News Club is a great opportunity. Child Evangelism Fellowship is doing wonderful work. So now I want to bring back Pastor Matt Watkins, because you have a unique perspective. Tell us how you got started, but then also tell us how, as a pastor, you're able to help your church get involved and adopt a club, and how maybe others who are listening could do that as well.
Yeah, well, I got started with Child Evangelism Fellowship as a teenager, actually. Emily Ramsdell was my teacher and, what do you call it, the local representative, right, who brought us to camp and worked through all the training paces. And she heard me stumble through my first presentations of the wordless book and how to weave the gospel narrative through a Bible story. And she saw me trip all over myself. And I'm very, very thankful for her training and expertise in those early years. But obviously now with, you know, formal training and things like that, I would say as a church, you know, why do we exist as local churches in a particular area? It's to reach the people that are there. And I just look at this, you know, I think we've got a very narrow window of opportunity to be in the public schools. And when you can get into a public school, you've hit an entire group of people that all live in your area. Like every child that isn't homeschooled or private schooled goes to that school. And, you know, while I would love for all of the kids of the school to come to the Good News Club, I take the perspective that the ones that God is preparing their hearts, those are the ones he's sending, and we're there for them. The one of the things that makes it challenging getting Good News Clubs going is it's a really bad time. You know, these happen at like 3:30. Most people are in their work day. It's hard to get that time off. But, you know, I want to put the word out for anybody that's listening. You know, retired people, homeschool moms, homeschool kids. This is a tremendous opportunity. I would say that I got my call to ministry by being involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship. So I think that it's a tremendous ministry opportunity to put kids, young people, especially homeschool kids, on the front lines, putting their gifts to work. We could. There's literally enough of us here to have a Good News Club in every elementary school. And for me as a pastor, I take the time to do it because I think we have to lead by example. Now, again, I think some of my gifting falls along that lines. I know some pastors, children's ministry is something that they've delegated to others. But in my particular case, I'm like, I want to lead the charge. And it's easier to build a team around me and go in and hand things over. I kind of see myself as a catalyzer, one that's going to go in, get it started, and then hand it off to others. But I think pastors should take into consideration, how are we going to reach all of the kids in our area? And again, not all of them would come to a club, but I can say, at least in regards to this one particular place, we are making the opportunity available, and we are trusting God to send those whom he is calling to salvation to this little outlet that the people of our church and the other partners we work with have provided.
So, Emily, as the area director, is that the typical model for starting a club? It goes through the local church and through Child Evangelism Fellowship?
You are right, Valerie. It is the church adopting the school. It is it's a win-win for both the church and the school. CEF just comes alongside. We help with the training, the curriculum, how to get started, but the church adopts. It's their Bible club in their school.
And so, like Pastor Matt said, that's really a unique opportunity, because you are reaching your whole community, right, at that one school. So, Pastor Matt, as the man in the room here for this discussion, how do you see that as making a difference? Obviously, not discontinuing the great asset that the ladies in the room have been, but so many of those young children may need a good male role model in their lives.
Yeah, as far as involvement goes, you know, there's various levels of involvement. And as Emily has pointed out, even off mic, just that grandfatherly presence. A lot of children are growing up without a positive male role model. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just being present. We have guys, we have one of the people who works at our group is a grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he's mm-hmm. just there. Like, he does our memory mm-hmm. verse, and he'll pass mm-hmm. out snacks, and he mm-hmm. does high fives with the kids when they walk in the door, and he talks with them and asks them about their day. I think it's a good connection for them to see a healthy, godly man who takes an interest in them, takes an interest in the things of God. As far as that next level of involvement, I think it really has to do with gifting, whether it's a man or a woman. These clubs can run effectively by having male teachers or having female teachers. Mm-hmm. And again, for me, that's one of the ways that God has gifted me. So it works. It's a good fit for me.
So as you think about that, though, and you maybe are speaking to other pastors listening, and like you said, maybe it's not their thing. They don't work well with children or don't love doing that. But how could they encourage their church to get something like this started, to adopt a club? As a pastor, how could you speak to another pastor about what that's meant to you?
Yeah. I have a good friend who shared a great slogan with me some time ago. We want to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. Mm. And I think every pastor who just heard that sentence said, wow, I got to write that down. It's not original with me. I think being a part of a good news club gives us access to carry out the child part of that. We can literally give access to the gospel to every child in our community by starting a good news club. Mm. So how do you do that? I talk with the children's ministry workers, talk with some of the retired people in your church, talk with some of those stay-at-home moms, talk with those homeschool parents that have some high school kids. I think there is great opportunity for that segment of your church to be involved. And I think you gotta pray. And if God wants it to happen, it obviously will happen. He'll provide the people and the resources mm-hmm. to get it done. And Emily is always available to work on the logistics side, dealing mm-hmm. with principals and getting permissions and all of that stuff. And they've got their own insurance policies. So mm-hmm. all of that, it's a well-oiled machine on that end. If you can get a team of three or four people, you could probably even pull it off with two if it's just a small club. You can literally reach every child in your church's area.
Yeah. And are these set up for a once a week club?
That's right. It's a weekly Good News Club, right.
And Emily, we've got a few more things to talk about, but as we're sort of hitting on the logistics here, if someone is listening and would love to get that off the ground, you were saying off air that you kind of need to work on that this summer to have it going for next fall.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about how to contact you and get that started. Before we wrap up, though, I do want to just take an opportunity to once again sort of hear that concluding challenge from our guests. We'll start with Irma. Let us know about through the years that you've worked with Good News Club and Child Evangelism Fellowship. What would you say are some of the things you've learned, the biggest things you've learned by being a part of that?
I think one of the biggest things I've learned is, even though I grew up in the church, had heard these Bible stories over and over and over again, when you learn through CEF workshops how to really teach these lessons to the kids that are unsaved, to the kids that are saved but just need to be encouraged even further in their walk in faith, you grow as an individual. I see the gospel in such a different way now. When I teach a young child about what Jesus did, and they look up at me and say, why would Jesus do that? Mm. There's something special that just all of a sudden bursts in my own heart to remind me that that simple gospel truth needs to be right there inside my heart, right along with those kids I'm teaching. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned is, sometimes I need to go back to those basics of what Jesus, who Jesus was, who I am, how much he loves us, and what he did for me. And there's times that I haven't been able to speak when those little ones say to me, why would he do that? Because it makes me think, it causes me to reflect.
Yeah, definitely.
It's well worth it.
Let's go back to Pastor Matt, and I'm going to ask you that same question as we wrap up here. Through the years, you've been a part of this. You've already shared sort of some along these lines, but what would you say is the biggest thing you've learned and continue to learn as you work with Good News Clubs?
I would say just the opportunity to regularly be sharing the gospel with people who don't know it. In so much of the rest of our life, it's building a relationship, earning the right to be heard, waiting for people to engage us in conversation. One of the things I love about CEF is every week it's a gospel opportunity. And I got into ministry because I love to see people's lives transformed by the gospel. And CEF, Good News Club, provides me a weekly opportunity to go and watch the gospel be shown to young people who don't yet know it. And as they ask their questions and as you lay out the basics for them, it is exciting to see them begin to connect the dots. It never loses its impact on me to see the gospel still relevant to these kids. That's one of the ways that I have enjoyed and grown in Good News Clubs.
And I'll ask Connie the same question. Connie Capone, as you wrap up your thoughts here, what would you say? What would you say that is the biggest thing, the biggest lesson you've learned or continue to learn through working with these kids and these Good News Clubs?
I would echo everything both Irma and Matt just said. It has been very powerful in my own life to build my own faith and recognize what an amazing God we serve, and to rehearse those stories with children and see their awe and their just impressed how God, he loves them. They don't hear that often enough, and it's so wonderful. Every single week, I prep a long time before I go into that classroom. I got to be honest with you, because I don't want it to not go well. I know that I have a very limited time with these children, and many of these kids don't go to church, and the only Jesus they're going to see is me in that classroom that week. And I want to represent him well. And so I spend the time in God's word, and it's so enriching in my own life. And I want these kids to be burdened for their parents and for their own friends. And I know, even though none of the kids in my class this past year made a profession of faith, every single one of them have had seeds of truth planted into them. And our church, we were talking about this before, we did prayer walks all last summer, and I was saying, we should go back to those areas and pray over all these kids' houses. And then I looked at the demographics, I'm like, we did all those streets last year. They're probably not going to want to do those streets again. And then it hit me. God answered prayer. Those were the very streets we prayed for. And those children on all those streets came to my Good News Club. God did answer prayer. So I know that he is using the truth that I am teaching them. And he has, even though none of them have made a profession that I know of faith yet, one day I know that he's going to use it for his glory, and he's going to draw them to himself in this perfect timing. And so I'm just trusting as I throw out the truth every week that they're latching onto it, and it's hopefully hitting fertile soil, and it is going to grow there.
The good news is always good, and I'm so thankful for you four in the room here with me, these partners in ministry, as we do continue to put out the seed and put out the good news, and we are so thankful for the promise that God's word is quick and powerful, that God's word does not return void, and that just by giving out that word, he does the rest. And we serve a mighty God, and you are faithfully serving him and making a difference in your communities. And we're so thankful for you. And we hope that through this radio special that we've encouraged one or two or five or 10 listeners who would say, I want to do that. I also want to point out the longevity of each of you in this ministry. You got started several years ago, each of you, some more than others, but it's something that you haven't let go of, which to me says it's powerful, and you want to keep going at it. And so may that be an encouragement to you listening. And if you're feeling burdened, you're feeling like this is something I could do, something I want to do, boy, we want to add to the teamwork here. There's work to be done, and the field is ripe unto harvest. So be a worker in the field with us, with our friends here at Child Evangelism Fellowship. If you would like more information about how to get involved with the Good News Club, that your church could sponsor, that you could help teach in, whatever it may be, you have questions, contact Emily Ramsdell. She's the Area Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship. You can email her at emilycef@aol.com. emilycef@aol.com. You can always contact us here at the radio station if you missed that, and we can connect you with her. Emily, anything you want to say to wrap up?
No, really. I was just so touched by these testimonies, right? My heart's just overflowing.
I think that says it all. Our hearts are overflowing. The need is great. The workers are few. You can join them if you have interest about how to start a Good News Club. Now's the time to get going over these summer months to get ready to start one in the fall at your local public school. You can contact the Area Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship. Her name is Emily Ramsdell. We heard from her today. And her email address is emilycef@aol.com. emilycef@aol.com. The gospel still brings good news, and you can be a part of taking it into public schools in your part of our listening area. Thanks for listening to this CEF special here on the Mars Hill Network.